Ace Podcast.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Hello and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm Jason Moitoso.
And today we are blessed by another beautiful Jason special.
Oh, dang.
This episode is a lot different from our normal ones. The normal ones have me taking the lead, you know, telling the stories and Jason responding and theorizing along with me and all of that. With the Jason special, we kind of flip that on its head. Jason takes the lead, and we make it more scientifically minded. I basically give him a license to just rip apart and be super mean to any phenomena or cryptid or whatever that he wants to.
Oh, yeah.
And that hurts me. That hurts me a lot, but it's for the good of the show. And a quick announcement before we get started. We're going to make some changes to our release schedule. We're still going to be releasing, ideally, every week on Thursdays. But every other month alternating, we're going to do at least one Jason special or one Tales of...
Sam, what are the Tales of?
Yeah. So the Tales of are like our Tales of Reincarnation, our Tales of Time Slips. So those are ones where we kind of just find some good stories and tell you about them. And we don't focus too much on like... Jason doesn't focus too much on debunking. I don't focus too much on like... apologetics for it and trying to make it. We really just sit and talk, and we're going to do that every other month alternating. The problem is we did both of them this month, so it's going to be kind of weird getting started, but next month we'll definitely have one. October we may not, because we already have that all scheduled out for Spook Month, and then starting especially in November, that's what we'll do, one then the other, and the other
we'll
going
be a bit
forward.
More regular.
Yes, a bit more regular indeed. But without any further ado, here is... What are we calling this one?
I want to call it Entering Totality.
Okay, I present to you Not Alone Podcast, Jason's special number 3, Entering Totality. Woo!
Today, listeners, I wanted to actually take a look at solar eclipses. Because it
topical.
Is... topical. Yeah, it's kind of all the rage of what we're talking about here in Idaho because, well... we get the special opportunity to witness essentially the path of totality, which is going to be where you can view a total solar eclipse, not just a partial, which is essentially what the rest of the U.S. will be able to see.
Suckers.
But we're special.
Yeah, we are.
I'm even more special because it's going to happen on my birthday.
It is going to happen on
yes.
your birthday. You're a star child.
Exactly.
Yay.
So the egomaniac inside is super excited.
Oh, good.
And that got me thinking, what are the other superstitions from around the world that, of course, we know what solar eclipses are.
Right.
They're very simple. But what are the superstitions that surround them?
Right.
So I wanted to take a look back at our ancestry and see what ancient people actually thought of eclipses. And, well, they did not let me down.
Good.
We've got some fun stuff today.
Good.
And instead of tearing apart those things like I did, you know, your beloved... lake monsters. I'm just gonna kind of talk about
from that
what exactly makes solar eclipses special, and also just kind of have a little bit of fun today.
Yeah, we're not looking to like disrespect any older cultures' beliefs or anything like that. We're really just here to catalog them and have fun with it, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rip anyone apart or make anyone upset.
Not this time.
Not this week. See, I feel like Jason's specials help, you know, balance out.
Yeah, they do.
There's a yin and a yang.
They do. It's nice because I like how we can incorporate the myth. Like, it's even a heavier focus on the mythological aspects of certain things, which you and I both love, but you really love to put things in that framework. And put on the science, you know, put on the... And I'm sure you were inspired by our last week's episode with the Mad Scientist podcast and all that. He was so excited.
Yeah.
He was so excited to talk to a real science guy.
It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. So
it was so sweet. So
cool.
Sam, anything you'd like to add before I dive into exactly what makes a solar eclipse?
Soviet ears only. We are in the know. Order 1318. Gagarin is to be executed now. Upon success, we shall be victorious.
Jason Special, hot and fresh, right out the kitchen. Let's talk about eclipses.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, so first off, solar eclipses are weirdly special in a number of different ways. One being that the moon is actually the perfect size. Now.
All right.
Now, just stay with me for a second.
Okay.
It just so happens that the sun is about 400 times the size of the moon.
Okay.
All right. But it's also about 390 times the distance away from Earth.
Ah.
And that is one of the only reasons why we can possibly have total eclipses. Is that it's just perfectly spaced out to where the moon will cover the sun when eclipse occurs. Yes.
That doesn't seem suspicious to you?
No.
Doesn't seem like
it's a cosmic coincidence, Sam.
Maybe the moon is not what it seems?
Oh, gosh. Okay, anyway.
All
so
right.
More about the moon and the distance that it is from the Earth and the sun. Back during our first lunar landing, besides for planting a U.S. flag on the moon, we also placed these gigantic mirrors on the surface. Scientists have been able to shoot lasers back at those mirrors and calculate just exactly how far away the moon is from the Earth.
Okay. That's not something we could do before.
No.
So when we sent people to the moon, we didn't know how far we were sending them?
We had a rough estimate, but we didn't know the exacties.
Okay.
Now we know the exacties. And unfortunately,
all right,
the moon is actually slowly leaving Earth's grasp.
Oh, no.
At 3 centimeters per year.
Oh, I feel like that's going to be fine.
I know. It'll be fine for quite a while. In fact, it'll take billions of years before we will never have, well, about a billion. Still, a super long time. I can't really imagine what the Earth will be like at that time.
We'll 100% be dead. Like, not just us. Humanity will be gone.
And that's morbid. Anyway, so
100%.
In about a billion years, the Earth will no longer be able to view a total solar eclipse.
As it goes away and away, is that going to make, like, eclipses less and less, like, total?
Yeah. So, eventually, in about a billion years, we can never actually have another total eclipse.
I just had the best idea for a young adult novel. It's two kids.
The last eclipse?
Two kids trying to see the last solar eclipse. I'm going to make that happen.
Okay. Can I illustrate it for you?
I mean, it's a young adult novel, so, like, it's not really going to have.
Oh.
But we could.
Let's make a children version as well.
Okay, that's fair.
We'll do both.
All right.
We'll make it simpler and happier and in a more flat storyline with not as dynamic characters.
Good.
Perfect.
And nobody has to, like, tragically die.
I'm talking, like, brown bear, what do you see style.
It will be called Where Has the Moon Gone?
It's getting eaten by the sun.
Yes, it is. All right.
That's what's happening. So, anyway, reeling it on back.
Come on back now.
It's not quite cooked. Gotta throw it in the oven a little bit longer. Here we go.
Stop with the cooking metaphors.
I'm sorry, dude. I meal prep a lot.
No, it's beautiful. It's good. All right.
Anyway, so eventually there will no longer be a visible total eclipse. And that being said, we don't actually see total eclipses too often. We have 3 different types of eclipses that actually occur. The first one, of course, is a total. And then we have a partial eclipse, which that is if you're not in the path of totality.
Right. That's what everybody else sees.
I don't know why I just keep liking to say totality.
Oh, dude, it's a really good
word. It's almost like fatality.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Anyway, so we have total, partial, and annular eclipses.
Okay.
Which an annular eclipse is eventually, in a billion years from now, the only thing that we'll see when we should have seen a total.
So do we have annular eclipses now?
We do.
Okay.
So besides from the fact that the moon is perfectly spaced
right
away from the sun, just like how Earth rotates around right. the sun in an elliptical, an ellipse, ellipses? Elliptical. Ellipses.
An elliptical orbit.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Anyway, the moon does the same around the Earth.
Okay.
Just perfect, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, there is a range in when we would have a total eclipse versus a partial eclipse and an annular eclipse. Now, when the moon is the farthest away and when we would have an eclipse, it would be an annular eclipse. So you'd actually still be able to see, essentially, the rim of the sun behind the moon.
Oh, okay.
So again, as the moon will eventually distance itself from our planet,
yeah,
that would be the only eclipse that we would see.
Okay.
Now, each one of these eclipses happen about a third of the time.
Yeah.
So eventually, an annular eclipse would happen two-thirds of the time.
Okay.
And then we'll only have partial eclipses.
Okay. That's fair.
You follow me?
I'm on board.
You digging?
I can do the math.
So, besides for the fact that annular eclipses are essentially created by the elliptical shape of the moon's orbit around the Earth, partial solar eclipses are made because the moon is actually about 5 degrees off tilt
okay.
from our own rotation.
All right.
And that's why every once in a while the moon only partially eclipses the sun as it passes by
all
and
right.
doesn't do a total.
Okay. I can dig that.
Sweet.
I can dig that.
You follow me?
Yep.
Follow me, everyone else? Sweet. All right. So
I'm gonna
there
assume
are different...
they said yes.
Yeah,
audibly,
right?
Out loud.
I braked just like Dora does. That's yes. how I learned all these skills is
yeah.
through Dora.
Yes.
Let's
Good.
Go. Vamos.
Vamos.
Anyway, so ahead. there are several other things in nomenclature that I'm going to go over real quick.
Okay.
So the path of totality is actually called the umbra.
Ooh.
Right?
I like that.
I know.
It's a great name for like a guitar.
Right. So the shadow is referred to as the umbra. And then when we have a partial eclipse being viewed, the larger area is the penumbra.
Okay.
So that's when you only get a small shading.
Okay. All right. Be a good name for like the bass. Like you have a guitar named Umbra and then you have your bass, which...
Oh, dude, there's...
Nobody cares about the bass,
just
obviously.
Wait until we get to the Vikings, because then we'll talk about some heavy metal stuff.
Nice. I love heavy metal
Who'd
mythology.
Have thought? Who'd have thought? The
that
Vikings.
That should be our next podcast.
Just
heavy metal
heavy
myth.
Metal myths.
Yeah. Except it's gonna... People are gonna get confused and think we're talking about like myths of like heavy metal music, but we're not.
Oh, yeah, no.
We're talking about the
We're going the other direction.
Yeah. All right.
So, Sam.
Yes.
On August 21st.
Yes.
We are going to have the lucky chance of being a part of the Umbra.
Yes.
And again, the darkish part of the path of the eclipse, which essentially means that we get the best view.
Yes.
Of course.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
So, now I'm going to break down a little bit more so you know exactly what you're going to be viewing on August 21st.
Nice.
All right. So when you actually look at the sun and okay. the moon during the total eclipse, when uh-huh. it is completely in line, you'll be able to see essentially the outermost at...
Am I supposed to look at the sun during the eclipse?
Only,
I thought I wasn't supposed to.
Only when totality has occurred.
Okay. But you know what, man? I looked at the sun a lot as a kid, and I'm fine. So
are you?
Maybe they're being a little too like mamby-pamby about
it
this.
It can cause serious eye damage.
Okay. Like maybe don't look at it through a telescope. Although I had a telescope and I always had this internal just like pointed at the sun.
It's like hitting the red button.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just do it.
Just do it.
I look never, on it.
I didn't, which is good, but
awesome.
Yeah, it was bad. All right, keep going.
Okay, so when we view a total eclipse now.
Okay.
We'll actually be able to see the outermost atmosphere of the sun, which is essentially what has that really cool glowing rays
is
off
that the
of
corona?
The back of it. It is.
Yay!
It's the corona.
I remembered something from Sunshine.
Oh, good, because I have it written down, and I thought you just, like, stole my thunder.
No,
that's
dude.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I've got the notes closed.
All right.
I'm just focusing on
anyway,
you.
So good job. I'm actually really impressed then.
Thank you.
Anyway, so the outermost atmosphere that is essentially made out of hydrogen gas is going to be the corona.
Nice.
And then we'll also be able to see a kind of a reddish, pinkish glow
Ooh.
Around the edge of the moon, which is also a part of the chromosphere, which is, again, the outermost layer of the sun's atmosphere.
Cool.
So first off, that's really sweet. And just like I said, how the moon is getting farther away, if we go way back in time to our mammalian ancestry, they would have seen a total eclipse to where they did not see any of that chroma.
Oh, interesting.
Or chromosphere.
So it would have
literally the moon blocking out the sun completely.
I could totally see why.
Pretty epic. Literally, day goes to night for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I could. And if you're doing that while there's like a battle going on, or while you're about to make a decision or anything.
When I say mammalian ancestry, I mean like the earliest mammals.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess they were still super freaked out by it, though.
Billions of years ago. But yeah.
That's fair.
And see, that's the thing. With a lot of eclipse lore, it's going to be a break of a cycle. It is apocalyptic in a lot of ways. And I'm going to be diving into that in just a moment.
All right.
But I still think that the view that we will be having on Monday is going to be better because we still get to see those rays.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So it'll be like the perfect inverse.
Yeah.
It'll be really, really awesome. And I'm stoked about it.
Yeah.
And total eclipses do actually happen pretty regularly. We actually have a few eclipses a year, which is pretty sweet. The catch is, well, they don't usually come by the same location often. The last time a total eclipse occurred over the U.S. was about 38 years ago.
Oh.
And we're actually super lucky this time around because it's going to be stretching diagonally across the entire continental U.S., which is really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Otherwise, a lot of eclipses actually take place to where the path of totality, the umbra, would be shadowing mostly water. I mean, the Earth is 70% water, so as humans, we don't get to see total eclipses too often.
True.
And that's why it's going to be special.
Yeah.
However, every once in a while, because the sun's movements and the moon's movement, I guess not the sun's movement, but the planet's movement and the moon's movement is so regular and easily to predict, when we go back in time, we can actually see when total eclipses occur to the same location frequently. And actually, China's kind of in the midst of one now. They had one in 2013, and there's going to have another one across China in 2020.
Oh, wow.
So coming up.
So they get a lot.
Yeah, they're getting a good little cluster.
Does that happen, like, favorably across the world? Like,
no.
Okay.
We won't be seeing one in our location here for about another 100 years.
I'm going to miss it. I'm not going to miss it, but I have to work that day.
That's super sad. Sam, that's just our location here, though.
That's true. My wife was telling me that there's this whole, like, subsection of people.
People actually are eclipse chasers.
Yeah.
That's what they are referred to as. And they travel the world just to view solar eclipses.
When we get that sweet, sweet podcasting money.
Eclipse chasers.
That's what we're going to do.
It's going to be like a sub podcast.
Yes. It's going to be us being like, did you see that? The sun's gone. Every episode's
eclipse
just chasers. 30 seconds
eclipse
long.
Eclipse chasers.
I like that a lot. All right.
Amazing.
It's amazing. All right, go ahead.
All right. And because of how predictable solar eclipses are today, some of our ancestors have actually been able to predict them for quite a while.
Okay.
In fact, it's been the Babylonians that first predicted it, and they got within about, I'm going to check my notes real quick because I believe it is very close, 2 hours from predicting when a solar eclipse would occur. Now, because Alexander the Great is Alexander the Great. Hardcore. I know, right, man?
Yep.
So there's several things I am just incredibly jealous of. First off, the title.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Secondly, he studied under Aristotle.
Right.
Which is super dope. Go ahead. Yep, I see the
finger. I went to, when I was 18, I spent a week in Rome and a week in Greece. And I went to where Aristotle taught his pupils,
like literally the
like where
the
they were standing
area.
And it was like, dang, not only did Aristotle stand
knowledge
here,
was dropped,
but like Alexander the Great probably sat right there. I had like a religious experience. It was beautiful.
Besides from the fact that there are three things that I'm super jealous of Alexander the Great, first off, that killer title,
right?
I mean, who's gonna follow that up?
No one.
Well,
I mean, you have Charlemagne, Charles the Magnificent.
I mean, that's
pretty good.
I don't know. When I think magnificent, I think magnificent.
What?
Just a little. Like, a little bit more like, I'm a stage show in Vegas.
All right. Okay.
Kind of a thing. where Alexander the Great's like, it's Alexander the Great.
All right.
So, first off, the title. Secondly, he studied under Aristotle.
Uh-huh.
And thirdly, well, he amassed a giant empire that was only rivaled and eclipsed
hey-o.
By Genghis Khan.
There you go.
So, and that took about 2,000 years later.
Grandfather Just Genghis. Saying. My man, Temujin.
Oh, and the fact that he's a military genius.
Oh, yeah.
Basically creating modern mixed unit tactics, which is brilliant. Alexander the Great. Side note, I'm going to go on a tangent. I'm sorry.
See your man crush Monday.
a little bit.
All right.
Man crush every day.
All right.
Alexander the Great.
Okay.
So, something really cool that we didn't know for a long time, and gosh, I said we like I'm a part of the scientific community.
you can be not what me. You want to be.
But archaeologists, I guess, didn't realize that, or didn't actually find out in total fact that Alexander the Great actually armored his units with essentially, laminated linen armor, which is crazy. And we had referencing to Alexander ordering new armor and then requesting the previous armor to be essentially burnt.
Destroyed.
Yeah. But scientists were actually able to kind of recreate that same laminated armor with the same linens that would have been found during that time period and same glues. And essentially, the Macedonians armed their men with an ancient style of Kevlar.
Oh, well, what?
Yeah. So dang. Super easy to produce.
Yeah.
Incredibly light. And it just makes so much more sense.
That's crazy.
And they were actually, we were able to do tests on it. Scientists were able to do actual tests on essentially what they designed as being the closest we could probably get to matching it. And it was able to stop arrows from penetrating the actual men themselves and most blades at the time, which is super cool.
Yeah.
At least for a couple of
hits. Impressive.
Yeah. And it got me thinking, why wasn't that used in like naval combat afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it probably gave way to better like iron armor eventually.
Right. Over time.
It's so cool, the ingenuity of our ancestors.
Yeah.
Back in the day, being able to make really cool armor out of linen.
Yeah. So
that's
did he
so awesome.
He ordered it to be burned so nobody else could like figure out what it was?
Maybe.
Okay.
We just had references of him ordering the burning of previous armor, which didn't make a ton of sense.
No, you probably want to reuse. What is it?
You probably want to melt it.
Reduce, reuse, recycle on that.
Essentially, yeah. So we knew that there were tales of the possible like linen armor, but we didn't really understand how it worked. So
I can dig
Macedonia.
That. Macedonia.
Not only creating a super awesome phalanx, but
nice.
Some pretty sweet armor as well.
Love that phalanx.
So anyway, while studying under Aristotle, yep, bringing it on back all the way there, Alexander learned about the Babylonians and their measurements of the sun and solar eclipses, and then eventually ordered his own astronomers to essentially narrow that window down, and they got it down to about 30 minutes before a total eclipse would occur. So again, this is a very regular kind of a system. This is pretty easy to predict.
Yeah.
Now, another culture that decided to go a little crazy on the prediction are the Mayans.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the Mayans and their death calendars. Yeah, that's essentially what they did. Mm-hmm. And so now we've got a combination of a couple things that occurred. You know how I said that solar eclipses sometimes cluster?
Right.
Well, that they're super easy to predict.
Yeah.
We can go back in time. And turns out that the Yucatan Peninsula experienced a total of 5 eclipses.
Nice.
In between the years of 331, Common Era, to 344.
Nice.
13-year span, 5 partial or total eclipses occurred over the Yucatan. Now, the Mayans also were at the height of their civilization during this time period. And, well, just like I was saying, it's apocalyptic.
Right.
Well, they took it to another level. I actually love their kind of mythos to eclipses.
Tell me about it, because I love the Mayans.
So, I didn't write down their names because I can't pronounce them.
Totally fair.
But anyway, Essentially, an eclipse occurs when a giant snake demon tries to devour the sun.
Is it Quetzalcoatl?
No.
Dang.
I know.
I love Quetzal.
Me too. I also love that there is a dinosaur named after it. And it's the largest flying dinosaur ever to be found.
That's beautiful,
it's
man.
Really freaking cool.
Dude, that's the paleontologist in you coming out again.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so there's a giant viper trying to swallow the world.
I mean, that's plausible, though, I would say.
A giant, I mean, 100%, fair enough.
100%.
But what I also like is the fact that during these eclipses, they observed Venus and a few other planetary objects that would be coming into view as the solar eclipse occurs. Because, of course, the sky will darken.
Yeah.
Stars will be shown. Right. It'll essentially be night for a few minutes.
Right, especially like Venus.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to see Venus. And they referred to Venus and the other planetary objects as being wasps or other stinging insects and agents of the apocalypse.
Wow. That's scary.
And so through that experience of seeing five different eclipses in the course of 13 years, they're like, hey, if this is the sign of the apocalypse, we better know which ones are coming up.
Yeah.
So they predicted when a solar eclipse could occur.
Okay.
Not that it would, but when it could occur.
Okay.
Unfortunately, due to Spanish conquest of the New World,
right,
a lot of their information has been destroyed, besides for what is carved in stone. So
feel bad about yourselves, Spaniards.
I mean, it's really a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's not a lot of manuscripts or documentations. Although the one that we have found, apparently there was four. The one that we actually pulled this information from is a really, really cool, like, I think it's 300-page manuscript that is essentially, like, it's accordion style, which is really interesting. The Mayans in general are pretty crazy. You okay?
I went
there?
To, yeah.
Are I've you just getting, been I know, it's emotional.
It is emotional. No, I'm just tired.
Giant wasps help block out the sun.
I went to Central America when I was like 14, 15, 16, and I still have it somewhere. I'll try to find it. But basically, I got this book that had the Mayan icons that are used for, you know, writing and dates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like accordion style. Yeah, it's accordion style, and it's it is. It you like pull it apart,
yeah,
and it comes out there. But it on both sides, it's held together by this extremely hard wood that is shaped and chiseled into like the Mayan. It's really cool. I'll try to find it for you sometime.
That's super awesome. I'd love to see it.
And I got my name, and I got my birth date in those,
in their characters.
Yeah, characters.
Because the way that they express numerics is through a series of dots and lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude.
That's cool.
It's super cool.
I didn't look at that scale, but that's how they
just
express it.
Their writing is just amazing. It's like just little squares that are super intricate and complex. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. Awesome. I love you, Maya. Come back. We miss you.
All right.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so the Mayans decided to predict when these eclipses could occur. Now, demons swallowing the sun isn't necessarily just their thing. It's actually fairly commonplace with most cultures around the world. Besides for the Mediterranean, being like the Babylonians, Mesopotamians,
right,
Greek and Roman cultures. For some reason, they just knew that it was the moon blocking out the sun.
That's weird.
I know. They're like,
that's
nothing. Nothing crazy. Well, I mean, what other celestial body in the sky could do that? I mean, you could see the moon.
No, that's
during
fair.
The day.
But why? That's really interesting. How like this one cluster's like.
But yeah,
oh, we
they
got
looked
this.
At it methodically, not to try to explain something else from it.
Right. Right.
Weirdly enough, one culture that doesn't talk about eclipses or even comets whatsoever until their latest dynasties is actually the Egyptians.
Hmm.
So we don't actually have a firm idea of why that is. Some scientists have speculated and assumed that it is because their sun god, the disc,
Ra,
is such a prominent figure in their religion that it would be complete blasphemy and a complete evil omen to talk about eclipses whatsoever. That is just incredibly bad juju.
Yeah.
Almost probably worse than even opening up Pharaoh's tomb.
Right. Yeah, no, because that's just, opening a tomb is like something that affects like one person, the
right.
guy who opens the tomb. He's
We're
cursed.
Talking about an eclipse yeah. that interrupts a god.
Yeah, that's, essentially. That's some spooky stuff.
So yeah, it doesn't actually appear until very, very late into Egyptian dynasties, really when they have a lot of Greek and Roman influence. That's when you start to see more tales about eclipses and things there. Mm. Now, I'm going to completely skip over that and get back into demons swallowing the sun.
Because that's hard. That's hardcore.
Yeah,
that's what
it's
we're
super
here
cool.
for.
And these are kind of my three favorite stories that I'm going to be breezing over. I like the Mayan one simply because, well, they're the Mayans and yeah. they get really critical about their calendar dates.
Yeah.
And Important. Be able to, they're really the only civilization that I've found that observes and actually kind of explains what the other planetary bodies are that you can see during eclipses. So mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool, them being actually able to point out Venus and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
they're great astrologers.
We're going to go back and talk about demons again. In India, nice. They actually have a mythos that a demon named, and I have it here, Rahu. That makes okay. more sense. Rahu, who wanted to drink the god's elixirs of immortality, which is nice. Essentially sweet brew that they made in the cosmos. Because nice. How do gods become immortal? Well, they've got the elixir for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not snake oil, I promise.
No, it's not.
Anyway, so Rahu hatched this scheme to go and steal and drink the elixir of immortality for himself. But the sun and the moon caught wind of this scheme, and they decided to basically rat him out to the gods. And as he had the elixir in his hands and started to touch his lips right before he was able to drink it. I'm sorry if I mispronounced this.
Wait, I got you.
Vishnu?
Vishnu, yeah.
Vishnu,
yeah.
A god, chops off his head. Now, the demon's head, Rahu's head. Rahu? I'm still going to say Rahu.
Rahu.
Rahu's
I'm sure
head is technically immortal. It touched his lips, but it did not go down his throat and hit the rest of his body.
Ah.
So his body died and withered away, but his head survives and became immortal. And he chases the sun and the moon. Nice. Eventually eclipsing them, swallowing them whole, just to have them slip out of his neck.
That is,
which is super sweet.
That is so hardcore.
Super sweet.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So he's a giant evil Pac-Man of the sky.
Stop it. No. That's dope. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty sweet. Ancient China had a similar kind of whole dragon swallowing the sun,
mm-hmm.
and it became such a big deal to them, even about 4,000 years ago, they had astronomers that actively tried to predict these so that
right.
they can chant and essentially make a lot of noise to scare the dragon away and to leave the sun alone.
Do you know my theory on the 4th of July?
Your theory?
My theory on the 4th of July.
Okay. Take it away,
it
Sam.
May
what is your
seem,
theory?
It may seem... like a good, normal, yay, America day.
Are we using fireworks to scare away aliens, Sam?
You are 100% God. Correct. Every year on the 4th of July, the aliens mount their invading forces, and every year, everyone in the United States shoots up like bottle rockets and Roman candles and mortars and stuff to scare them away. So, me and the Chinese were very aligned on that philosophy.
Oh, it's not just the Chinese.
All right.
Weirdly enough... a lot of these kind of making loud noise and rabble in order to scare away whatever is devouring the sun is also a pretty common theme. And it's not just in Southeast China, Asia, but it's also up north in the Vikings. I'm going to get to them in just a second
All
because
right.
they are the most hardcore, in my opinion.
Yeah, dude.
So anyway, they essentially, Chinese, make a ton of noise in order to stop this dragon from swallowing the sun and cough it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fun thing... that if you were an astronomer at this time, and if you screwed up the prediction and weren't able to warn everyone in enough time, there goes your head.
Yeah, killed.
100%. Yeah, you're gone.
Yep.
So
that's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And it's also kind of tied to the fact that kings relate themselves again to kind of like the sun,
mm-hmm.
being a constant ever presence mm-hmm. and being divinity. Now, to the Vikings.
Ragnar. Ragnar Lothbrok.
More like Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Anyway, so the sweet thing about the Vikings is that they actually have two giant sky wolves that chase the sun and the moon.
Yeah, they do.
Now, one of them is named Skull.
Uh-huh.
Very similar to how I pronounce Skull.
Stop it.
Skull. Skull. And the other
you
one
actually say
Hati.
So you are pronouncing Skull like everyone else pronounces Skull. Skull is spelled S-K-O-L-L.
Skull.
And yeah. I'm sure that that's how it's pronounced.
Right.
But you're pronouncing skull. That correctly.
I know.
But whenever we say skull, as in the bones in your head, you say skull with
an
A.
Skull.
I hate you.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So those two wolves that plague the Viking skies are Skull and Hati.
Okay.
Hati chases the sun.
Nice.
And when it bites down, it plunges the world into darkness.
Nice.
Now, during their apocalyptic battle of Ragnarok. Apparently eclipses are going to be taking place near constantly.
Right.
Just in and out, in and out, in and out. Because, well, end of the earth, that's going to happen.
Right.
Makes sense. Because it is, again, a break of the normal cycle. Mm-hmm. It is, in a lot of ways, in a very apocalyptic event that we have to stop. And apparently we make a lot of noise to help make that stop. Again, just like the Chinese do.
Right.
Just like Vikings,
the Americans
essentially
do.
Chant and yell for Hati to let go of the sun. And eventually, of course, it does, because this is just a momentary kind of event. But here's my favorite thing.
Nice.
When Skull sinks his teeth into the moon, he causes a blood moon.
Nice. We had like four of those last year.
Yeah.
Everyone
thought
it was
over. So they're
actually
pretty cool, and I'm going to dive into the science on them in just a second.
All right.
But anyway, he sinks his teeth into the moon, and blood rushes over it.
Nice. Nice.
So Skull.
Hardcore.
Causes blood moons.
Nice.
Because, exactly, Vikings, and that's what they do. But to give you an idea of what actually occurs when a blood moon happens, is a blood moon takes place when a normal lunar eclipse would occur, which is pretty much monthly. Every 29.5 days. Because we have new moons.
Oh, that I guess that makes sense.
So lunar eclipses aren't
not
nearly
actually shrinking and growing. Okay.
Damn.
That makes more sense.
So anyway.
Okay.
Blood moons occur right when we're in that special distance with the moon so that the light rays from the sun actually diffract. The short wavelengths, the blue wavelengths, diffract into space through our atmosphere. And the long wavelengths, the red wavelengths, are the ones that actually continue and do, in fact, hit the moon. And that's what causes a blood moon. It's just the diffraction of light through our atmosphere.
Right.
That's also why sunsets and sunrises have a red tint or orange glow to them. It's because that blue light has been refracted into space.
Okay. But I thought, especially with like sunsets and sunrises, I thought that the... Like, whenever you see, like, a particularly vibrant sunset, especially, is what I usually think of.
Usually pollution.
Yeah, pollution. But you're saying it's not always pollution.
No, no, no. Pollution increases it.
Oh, okay.
It essentially heightens the refraction.
It's like the one good thing that comes out of pollution.
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
All right.
So.
Cool.
That refraction of light and the longer wavelengths that hit and bathe the moon in a reddish-orange glow is, again, caused by our atmosphere.
Okay.
And the sun's rays, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we don't have a ton of blood moon lore. Most of it is actually derived from more, like, middle and dark ages stuff.
Okay.
Which is essentially heightened werewolf activity and witches and demons going crazy.
Right.
So, the typical kind of not so much fun, in my opinion, lore that we kind of already know. And that's, we already kind of tribute to full moons in general.
You do have... In, like, Old Testament lore, and it's quoted in the Book of Acts, you have this prophecy that's uttered by the prophet Joel. It's quoted by Peter in Acts, and it says in Acts 2:20, "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day." And if you remember, last year we had, like, four blood moons, and every time the sky was extremely cloudy here, which was a bummer every single time. But you had all of these groups of people
that were like, end times are
this
near.
Is
yes.
It. Yeah, we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I also, I saw that and I'm like, well, obviously, no.
No, yeah, well, and like to take it for, to take it to a slightly different area here, you know, I don't want to delve too much onto the actual like apocalypse and all of that, but it states that no one knows. In the Bible, it states that no one knows when the end of the world is going to happen. And blood moons and solar eclipses and stuff are so, like you said, easy to predict. I just want everyone to just, if you're the kind of person who gets freaked out, because people do. Like, unfortunately, just like with the December 23rd or 21st, 2012, I mean, it freaked a lot of people out because they were like, this is it, this is the end of the world. And, like, just really panicked. Don't worry about it, guys. Like, don't worry yeah. about it. However, do you have anything else? What else do you got?
No, just finish your idea. Finish your...
Okay. However, there is something that makes this solar eclipse different than every other solar eclipse ever. Okay. And it is the reason why you should be extremely scared.
Because it's on my birthday.
Well, yes, it's on your birthday. So, first off, it's the coming of the great Jason. Jason the Great. There you go. See, but when I say it like that, you just sound like a stage magician.
Yeah, see, just like Magnificent. So say Jason the Magnificent.
Jason the Magnificent.
See, nah, that also yeah. feels like a, well, like a magician
I don't,
name.
I'm not to be mean. The name Jason does not like inspire awe, I would
Jason
say.
Jason and the Argonauts I are know. Awesome.
They are awesome, but it's not Alexander. Alexander is such a regal, like yeah, powerful yeah. name. So... First off, it hails the birth of Jason the Great, which is fantastic, and we're also happy you are alive. However,
yes,
there's this little town.
Oh God,
in Kentucky,
that's also going to be seeing a blood moon
called Hopkinsville. And anybody who is worth their salt as a ufologist,
oh gosh,
ufologist,
okay. I knew you'd get UFOs somewhere in here.
There's this tiny town in Kentucky called Hopkinsville. And it's known for exactly one thing. And that is that back in, I want to say it was 1955, might have been like 53, there was something that happened. It was 55, I'm pretty sure. Something that happened wherein this group of people were under siege by these little men, these goblins, essentially is what they called them. And if you play Pokemon, it's they looked like and are the inspiration for Sableye, the Pokemon. So you can look that up. And they're under siege by these goblins for hours. And every year, Hopkinsville celebrates Little Green Men Day, which commemorates this event that happened on August 21st. That's when Little Green Men Days is. And... Hopkinsville is also the point of greatest eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I know I just said don't be worried because everything's going to be fine, but it might not be. All I'm going to say, it might not be.
Yeah, we can do a recap.
It could be.
We can do, on the following episode, we can do a little recap in the...
I'm not even planning for the week after this because we're all going to be subjugated anyway.
Like,
we are going to have been taken over by our alien overlords. Praise them.
Maybe they'll crown me king.
It's my birthday. Can I have the
die,
birthday crown?
Die, insignificant scum.
Yes. So,
that's what's going to happen to me.
I mean, you, of course, have, like, coincidence, and I'm sure that that's all this is, but it is
like
one...
my birthday falling on a total eclipse day.
Right, but yeah. It is one heck of a coincidence, because it's not, like, this obscure little thing.
It is cool.
Kelly Hopkinsville goblins are one of the most well-known UFO cases, and so a part of me is like, what if they just got the year wrong? What if they wanted to come during the total eclipse, but they were like, oh, crap, we came too early, and now they're going to come on back?
I mean, I understand... My sun and moon, like, if it was my planet, moon, and solar eclipse and stuff,
right.
I'd probably have that down pat. You know, if I'm a visitor, I'm like, oh, man, when was there, what was their cycle again? Wasn't it like, oh, well.
Yeah, we're just going to pop in. If it's there, it's there.
Sweet.
If it's not, we'll come back later.
All right,
So I know I just said don't be worried, but be worried. Everybody be worried.
No, don't be worried.
We are all going
solar
to
solar eclipses are completely
100%.
Natural, very predictable. And really, really, really cool.
They are really cool. They're really impressive.
Anyway.
But, yeah.
I'm going to bring it back to moons real quick.
All right.
Because,
okay.
Blood moons, for some reason, get associated with, even though, again, a blood moon would occur when a total lunar eclipse would happen, blood moons are also associated with like heightened level of evil, just in general. Blood moons do get associated with these heightened evil presences,
right,
similar to just full moons in general, which is kind of weird because it's a lunar eclipse and it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take it however you want it.
Take it as you will.
Exactly. So before I wrap up and mm-hmm. I end, I'm pretty much done with my stories for the day. Those seem to be some of the most popular and, in my opinion, really some of the coolest stories for eclipses around the world. I guess now is just a public service announcement.
Okay.
So if you are one of the lucky Americans that get to view the total solar eclipse or the solar eclipse in general, there are some things that you should know, because I have heard that some vendors of solar filters online to actually view them in aren't the greatest and aren't actually going to really protect you very much if you do look at it. So I actually pulled this up from the American Astronomical Society, and this is a list of a reputable solar viewer brands. So I'm going to go right down the list here. We have American Paper Optics, the Ellipser is what theirs is called. APM Telescopes, Sun Filter Glasses.
Okay.
Bader is what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Planetarium, Astro Solar Silver / Gold Film.
Nice.
Celestron, Eclipse Smart, Glasses and Viewers. Daystar, Solar Glasses. Explore Scientific, Solar Eclipse Sun Catcher Glasses.
Okay.
Lunt Solar Systems, SunSafe Sunglasses. Wow. That one is beautiful.
That's good. That's good.
Mead Instruments.
Okay.
Eclipse Viewer Glasses and Viewers. Rainbow Symphony. Eclipse Shades. Seymour Solar. Helios Glasses. Helios Glasses.
Helios. Okay.
Thousand Oak Optical.
Okay.
Silver Black Polymer and Solar Light.
Okay.
TSE 17 Solar Filter Foil.
Okay.
So those are some of the brands that you can look for and some of the names. So just kind of keep those in mind when you're shopping.
Also, if you are going to go to the, like, go somewhere to see the eclipse, take extra food, take extra water. Traffic's going to be crazy.
Yeah, you're going to be there probably a little bit.
The phones, especially in the more rural areas, your phone most likely is not going to work because the towers are just going to be overcrowded. So make sure that just in case anything happens, not like even anything apocalyptic, just like your car breaks down or you're in traffic for three times as long as you thought you would be, just be prepared with that.
Sweet. So thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Also, where can I specifically find some of these brands? Well, it's actually pretty easy. Some retail chains from around the U.S. that we can go to include 7-Eleven,
okay,
Best Buy, Bi-Mart, Casey's General Store, Circle K, Hobbytown, Kirkland's, Kroger, London Drugs, Love's Travel Stops, Lowe's, McDonald's, just for organs, though.
Really?
Just for organ, yeah.
Okay.
Pilot and Flying J's.
Okay.
REI, Toys R Us, and Walmart.
Okay.
And I do know that you can get specific filters designed for binoculars and also telescopes.
Okay.
I would, of course, refer to your local telescope store or photography store if you have something like that near you. Check them out first. Ask some questions. Figure out what's going to be the best option for you. One other thing that my dad pointed out is that you can also use welding goggles for it as well.
Oh, cool.
But not all. I did some homework. So, Dad, we have to check the number on these before you bring them up. We want to go with number 14 shade.
Okay.
Apparently, that's the magic number.
That's
otherwise,
the number
to work. Even though the goggles may appear very dark in their coloration, they may not actually protect you to the scale that we need. And also, you can actually build really awesome little eclipse viewers using, of course, you can just do a regular sheet of paper and poking a hole through it in order to do it. But I've also seen some pretty sweet videos online if you want, you know, you have younger kids or something, you want to make like a really cool eclipse viewer through just normal household items as well. Check them out. It might be a fun little project.
Okay.
So there you have it, Sam.
All right.
The total eclipse is going to be super sweet.
It's going
to
be dope.
It's going to be awesome, and I hope I hyped it up enough for people to go check it out.
Yeah.
That is all I have for today.
Well, thanks for that, Jason. That was good. I'm going to be honest. Sea monsters, maybe a little better.
No, dude, totally get it. But sea monsters, I took a harsher look.
Yes, you did. But this was a good one. I think the eclipse is always going to be something that fascinates people and you know, we know how it works, but it just feels like it has a deeper thing.
I think because we know how it works, we don't necessarily think it's very special.
Right, but it is.
And I didn't think it was very special until I actually started reading through and learning more about it. Now I'm super stoked.
Yeah.
So I hope I at least hyped it up a bit for folks.
Yeah, good. I think you did. I think we'll have a good time with it. It'll be, like I said, I have to work, but I'm hoping I can just... Because Boise is not in the path of totality, but it's like...
It's pretty close.
Very close.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping
right
I can
just... Right outside that umbra.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can just kind of jump out of work for 5 minutes and be like, oh, I gotta go, and then I go back to work. But yeah, cool. Anything else you gotta say about that?
That is it, Sam.
All right,
I have told my tales.
I am but a wee simple peddler of stories. That's what you are.
Only about the sun.
All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and just read. We are talking to you from the past. So you're probably listening to this sometime on or after August 17th. We're recording this on August 10th. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because right now we're going to call out the two people that left us reviews in this last week. But if you don't hear yourself, if you left a review and you don't hear yourself mentioned, it's just because we're going to do all that on our next episode when we actually record in real time or pretty close to it. So... we want to thank Mother Magan and Turlock One. So I'm going to read Mother Magan. She says, this is a very entertaining and informative podcast. Sam and Jason have such great chemistry that it makes every episode fun to listen to. I can't believe you've only been around for such a short time. You guys sound like true professionals.
Nice.
Look at that. You're professional, Jason. You're professional.
Trying to be.
Trying to be.
Skull.
Skull.
Is that how you say it?
Skull sounds like an ancient warlord or something like that.
I've picked up different pronunciations of things from all over the place. So
yeah.
I watch too much TV is the problem.
That's okay. And then, those are the people who left us iTunes reviews. We love iTunes reviews. It's the cheapest, because it's free, and easiest way to support the show. All you got to do is just jump on, go to iTunes, sign in, leave us a review, let us know what you think. Because on top of it being like, oh, this is so nice, this feels nice, it's good. That's weird.
Good job.
It's also a great way for you to reach out and give us like feedback. We had one individual say that the only thing that the review said was like, turn up your audio volume.
So, I don't need to.
Well, yeah, Jason doesn't need to. But because of that, and I've gotten that a little other places, I'm trying to mix them a little bit louder. The problem is if I go too loud, then it gets all crackly and weird. But let us know. That's a great way. If you like the show, if you think that there's things we can do better, let us know.
Yeah, Sam, I'm curious. Turlock One, what did they say? That's my hometown.
Turlock One.
Yeah.
They said... So they were a 3-star, and that's okay.
Oh, that's okay.
We can deal with it. They said, I enjoy your topics, and I would like to continue being a listener. My problem is there is way too much chit-chat. Too many interruptions. I understand you need to converse, but sometimes the interjection is just silly. And I'm going to be honest.
Fair enough.
Like, fair enough.
I want to be silly.
I'm not going to change it, though. Like, I'm not. I feel like, at this point, we've grown so much in so short a time... to the point where we're growing because people like us. Like, that's the only explanation. It, as unlikely as it seems to me, people like us.
Well, thank you for filling my curiosity there. I still appreciate it.
We're gonna chit-chat until the day we die.
I think we have to stay, like, sane and relatively happy. Yeah. Otherwise, this is just going to weigh us down.
Well, and I was talking to, or I was on Twitter, and Forrest from the Astonishing Legends podcast mentioned, he was like, we get this all the time. There are people who really just want you to, like, read the Wikipedia page to them, and that's it. And it's like,
oh,
if we did that, it would lose who we are. So
yeah, you lose the kind of entertainment from it, really.
So again, I wasn't even going to read that until Jason made
it. No, I was just curious.
But if you know, if we chit-chat too much, that's fine. There are a lot of other shows out there that are probably exactly what you want, but that's one thing that we're going to keep on keeping on with, so... And then, so yeah, that's iTunes. And then we got a few new patrons this week as well.
Ooh.
We got...
People like us, Sam. They really like us.
Yeah, so the last one we did was Zazzy. So we got Jenna Isbell.
Yay, Jenna!
Baron freaked out. He's on my lap right now. Baron. He's like, whoa!
We got Riva.
Yay, Riva!
We got Ryan Kolb.
Yay! Ryan.
And we got Ingrid Frazee.
Yay!
Ingrid.
So that is our new patrons. If you are a patron, thank you. If you'd like to support us, you can go to patreon.com/notalonepodcast. We have different extended content, different bonus content associated with each one of our reward tiers, the $1, $3, and $5. You can take a look over there to see exactly what it's like and what you get for your money. And we'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thanks to listeners like you, we're able to actually cover the hosting fees and slowly upgrade our own speakers and microphones. So we appreciate
and
that.
And buy lots of spooky books. Super spooky
and
books.
And no headphones for Jason.
Jason, we're getting you headphones. It's fine. Cool. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. That's a wrap. Another Jason special.
In
hot and
the
fresh.
Yeah,
hot right
and
out the kitchen.
The kitchen of books. Book kitchen.
No, more like the internet.
Book
no books.
Kitchen.
No books
the
for
Jason special
in the use
story.
The special.
Can that be your memoirs?
What?
Book kitchen?
Book kitchen. That's
book kitchen.
Weird.
All right.
Let's stop this.
All right. I did it last week.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Remember, whether you're predicting the next apocalypse or watching the moon shame the sun, you are
not alone.